You're tuning in to Black Hollywood Lives this week. Today we're talking HBO Ballers, Trump, and a lot more. All that today, and we're going to have a lot of fun. All right, let's do this.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live this week.
Ooh.
You learn that, you know that, you feel that beat right there, Omar. You know,
it's coming.
It's coming, right?
You just got to get something to
build up.
He got dropped
my shoulder
16, and then all of a sudden,
see where it goes.
What? Make you curl your lip.
Right. You gotta put like one of your shoulders back too.
Shit.
I see you, Courtney.
I call this the Black Billy Idol look.
That's a good one. Well, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Black Hollywood Lives this week. I'm your host, Daryl Kristen. Joining me today is, let's see, I mean, we have like two new people, so I'm going to start with Joelle.
Hey, y'all, I'm Joelle
Monique. Oh, wait, you know, I don't give you your last name. I just give you the first name.
Okay.
You're just Joelle. You know
just
what I mean?
Joelle, just Joelle. I like that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just you know, Joelle.
Joelle. Like, you're like Madonna.
Ooh.
We got Courtney Stewart joining us today.
What's up, y'all?
And one of my favorite people.
Yep.
He's doing his thing. He's on HBO Ballers and just like, I mean, I'm always seeing this man work. Omar Miller in the house with us.
Yeah.
And he did select the song today.
Welcome,
so give him props for that.
What's up now?
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Good to see you.
It feels good to be seen. I'm here. I'm glad y'all got AC.
The last time I was around, y'all
AC game wasn't up. It's a good deal.
Listen, we had to upgrade since the last time you were here. We can't have you talking about it. You know what I mean?
I came anyways. How about that? That's how much love I have.
That's love right there.
That's love,
man. Well, we got a lot of hot topics today. I mean, from Trump to, I mean, just Insecure, Jay Ellis, like a whole bunch of things. We're going to be talking about...
Hey,
you see who's excited about that, right? We're going to be talking to Omar. We're going to do an interview with him about all the projects he's working on.
Yes, we are.
But we're going to go ahead and start off today.
We're going to jump right in with Raven Simone this week. So she's been in the news this week because she did a few interviews. She's got her new show out. I don't know if y'all haven't seen it yet on Disney.
Yeah.
But it's doing so great. For those of y'all that's a Raven fans, it really stays in the genre so well. And she's so great. And all the kids are so great on the show. It's fantastic. Check it out on Disney. But anyway, she was on the interview tour all week, and she was talking about how she's so excited now that we have such this body positive movement that's going on with women, and how in the press and in the media we're always trying to uplift women's bodies now, and she wishes that that actually was the case when she was coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And she felt like if that were the case when she was coming up, she would have had a lot fewer mental issues. Because she basically went into detail about how since she was like 7 years old working on the Cosby Show, people was like snatching bagels and donuts out of her hands saying she was too chubby and she can't eat that. So she's always had a complex about weight. And obviously at a certain point once she was like Cheetah Girls, like she started to get bigger and the other Cheetah Girls were smaller. Somebody actually said to her, how you think you're going to go on tour and sing and dance at that size? And she's like, but I still went on tour and did like 300
and sang
shows.
And danced.
She
right.
sang and danced right. just fine. So she just was excited and celebrating the fact that women are celebrating their bodies now. Additionally, she also gave kudos to Disney because she brought up the fact that she came out to Oprah in 2014 that, you know, she's sexually fluid, essentially.
Yeah, because she doesn't give herself a full title.
She doesn't give herself a full title, but sexually fluid. At the time, she was dating a woman. And she was thankful to Disney for being willing to still allow her to do the new That's So Raven.
Wow.
Being out and a member of, technically, the LGBTQ community.
Disney just had a lesbian couple on Doc McStuffins.
Right.
So dope.
They're making big moves. And Disney, you know.
That's a big step for Disney, I would
say. That's a huge step. Yeah. And that is a conservative sort of culture that it comes from. And that they're making those steps is a big deal.
Well, also, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, props definitely to Disney, but that's the times that we're in. You know, you have kids who have the same-sex parents or, you know, or something close to it or having their, you know, their own sexual orientation that they're dealing with. So
I have a question with that, though. So, but the content on the show has nothing to do with her sexuality, correct?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, so I honestly feel like this sexuality issue oftentimes goes too far, and oftentimes it goes too far when people try to connect it with being of color, in my opinion, because everybody knows that I'm the giant black man everywhere I go. There's no change of that. The only way that I know if someone is, whatever their orientation is, whatever their preference and orientation is if they make it known.
Right.
So I think it's great that Disney is inclusive, because that is that these are the times that we're living in. But I also think that, you know, the sexuality to a certain degree is irrelevant when it comes to the kids, depending on how old the kids are that you're entertaining.
But you gotta take into consideration like a million moms. Like, it's not so much, I don't think Disney cares like what any of their actors are doing so long as they're not making a spectacle out of themselves. But like the Million Moms, which is a religious right organization, that will literally, they attacked Nickelodeon for having SpongeBob because they thought SpongeBob was gay.
Yeah.
And so I know that, and then they like tried to like, they went struck against Macy's and JCPenney for including same-sex couples in their magazines. So I understand the hesitation for giant corporate. Like, going into these kinds of groups is challenging. So I think it's cool that they're willing to publicly be like, no, it's cool, we're fine, we'll take that hit or that L.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. But if it's not in the content, I don't even understand how it's the L. But, you know, or a dub, to be honest.
That's
you understand
really,
what I mean?
Well, really relevant
it's different if they're making a, you know, if That's So Raven then in turn has 2 8-year-old girls making out.
True.
Now
yeah.
we're talking about something that's totally different, which is child porn, which is really different.
But you guys
understand what I mean.
Right,
you guys understand what I'm saying.
Sure.
Well, I think, though, we're just in a place now where everybody is just such an open book. Because of reality TV, everybody wants to know everything about everybody, even if they're actors and whatever.
Yeah.
And even
the mystery is gone.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we have everybody's putting everything on Instagram and on their social media. So that correlates to TV. And people still want to be able to, I think, see that and see, even if it's not a storyline, they want to be able to see something that relates to them at this point because of the fact that everything's just so exposed.
Low key though, I met Raven a couple years ago and she was giving me rhythm.
She's fluid.
Yeah,
that's why I didn't know.
She likes who she likes.
She likes
what
she
cool. I mean, she made me feel warm and fuzzy. That was nice. So, you know, that's all I can say.
I feel that.
I mean, she might be single right now.
She might.
Because I think she and Esmarie broke up. So.
Yeah, I think they did, actually.
We're just like.
I don't know. I mean, I applaud her, too, because you hear so much negative things that are being said out there, and especially about black women, and now it's changed, you know, and it's changing. And I feel like she is out there promoting that part, too.
Girl. And she's funny as hell on the show.
She's a tremendous entertainer.
She's so good. Like,
she's one of the best of her whole generation.
Yeah.
Because if you watch her from the Cosby Show to her show, That's So Raven, she was brilliant. And she directed some of those.
Yeah.
She wrote them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She was absolutely, she's a great performer.
She is
very talented.
Phenomenal. So make sure y'all checking her out and supporting her over on the Disney Channel. And wherever, I don't know, does Disney stream stuff? Maybe, I don't know.
They just
sure.
got their own streaming service.
Oh, yeah,
well,
sure did.
Because they snatching everything off Netflix.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I'm not mad about
We're
that
all hurt
all.
By it.
I'm like,
you.
Why? This is why the world, whatever, we're not talking about that.
Here we go. You see what happens, Omar? It gets fired up in here.
It's getting to the point where we're going to have to buy like 16 different streaming services, subscriptions to have everything.
Soon.
I don't want that because that's what Time Warner did. And that's how we got mad at cable because they started, this is what you're going to get and this is what you're going to watch.
That's what they're pushing
this.
You back
I hate
into.
Oh, God. It stressed me out. But anyway.
I don't know, though. Hold on real quick, though. There's a bunch of services that are super cheap, that are streaming, that are like cable, but not as expensive. Not to be a bitch, man.
I have YouTube TV right now, so I get my basic channels, and then I'll get like FX, and I'll get AMC.
Yeah,
and I'll get,
you got Sling, you got YouTube TV, you got that one that DirecTV has,
Hulu,
and these are all like $20, and you get pretty much the same thing that you get.
You do, sort of, but then there's always like all the Viacom channels like aren't on YouTube TV.
Mm-hmm.
So then you then are like, well, do I get rid of Hulu, or should I get Hulu? Because they have this channel from this one that's not on
a lot
one.
Of friends
it's
who are willing to
share subscriptions. Subscriptions.
Even if you get, even if you get like two or three.
You are
three
blacker than you look.
I love that. Even if you get 2 to 3 subscriptions, here's the thing, it's still cheaper than what cable is right now. My
cable
bill is like $180.
Man.
I don't have Showtime. I have HBO and Cinemax. Cinemax, really.
Why
that's
you
Cinemax.
Cinemax, Jerry.
Listen, that's his own business, okay?
Listen,
this ain't about body shaming.
People want to know too much about you. Did we just have this conversation? See, this is the problem right here. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Courtney,
I mean,
back
you,
me up.
You put your business in the streets. I just asked the question.
I'm just saying.
I was just
I ain't required or
I
request Cinemax. It came with the HBO.
I
want an HBO.
You know what? I'm going to just move on because you done turned this into another conversation. And I am so sure that you all have been sitting around waiting to have a conversation about Trump this week.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, so y'all know, or if you don't know, you probably should know because, you know, you might wake up or not wake up and it could be his fault. So on Tuesday, he was doing a press conference, not about war. It was about the opioid crisis.
Jesus.
And he sort of, you know, in his own special way, because he probably should use Ritalin or something to focus, or Adderall, whatever the one is that helps you focus. And he made some off-the-cuff remarks regarding North Korea. So we are aware through intelligence that North Korea has been doing more missile tests than normal, or than they have been.
I don't even think they're trying to hide it. I don't even think that's intelligence.
That's what's scary.
I think that's from Kim Jong-il's
he's like,
Twitter.
See? Here you go.
Wait, you said it was on his Twitter, though. And quietly, it may have been. Like, that's what's scary.
That was the intelligence, though. They keep they Twitter. They got their private Twitter. Right. North Korea ain't got real access to Twitter because they don't want nobody to see the rest of the world. But anyway, so on Tuesday, he's supposed to be talking about the opioid crisis and how we're going to save everybody from these opioids. And he just went off sideways and wanted to address North Korea. And he basically directly said to North Korea, quote, North Korea best not make any more threats to the United States. They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
This man's going to get us killed.
Wait. And then he went on and he was speaking about Kim Jong Un. I always say it wrong. Ill is a dad.
Ill was pops.
Yeah. Okay. And then he went on to say he has been very threatening beyond a normal state. They will be met with fire and fury and, frankly, power the likes of which this world has never seen before. So he says this, and obviously, like, that's extremely aggressive. Words like that have not come out of a president's mouth in almost a century, like, in terms of being so directly threatening to another nation, even a nation that is an enemy. He hasn't rolled it back at all. In fact, today on the golf course, reporters were like, hey, bro, like, you know, like, did you really, you were, like, serious, that serious about that? And he was like, actually, I don't think I was serious enough. I was not harsh enough. And he just held fast to what he had said before, and he didn't think he was tough enough, and he thinks it's time that a president stuck up for the country, because all the presidents previously have not been sticking up for the country the way that they need to in terms of North Korea. So since then, the state Secretary of State has come out and made comments basically saying, you know, we're trying to diplomatically handle this, but it's challenging, and there's no good solution. And then yesterday, the defense secretary said to North Korea, also quite aggressively, he is the Secretary of Defense, that, quote, North Korea to, oh, I'm sorry, hold on. He warned North Korea, saying, you will continue, whatever you can do will continue to be grossly undermatched by ours. So basically, he was saying that our missiles will always squash you, bruh.
Like,
y'all need to back out. Overmatched, sorry. So he, they, everybody knows there's no good thing that can happen.
Yeah.
Like, there's, no, and just, as crazy as it is that Trump said what he said, at the same time, North Korea is like, we can
destroy you.
Bomb Guam right now. Like, they just released that he has supposed, and I don't know how they would know this, but maybe it's intelligence again, that there's some 24-point plan that Kim Jong-un is looking at right now to show how he can actually directly bomb Guam at this point. And Guam is a U.S. territory. So an attack on Guam is an attack on America. So he's saying he's serious, but some people are saying, you know, he's always made threats like this, or the regime has always made threats like this to the United States. A lot of people are more concerned because the fact that one of the missiles, there's evidence that one of the missiles is capable of having a smaller nuclear warhead attached to it, which is obviously the biggest concern. Well, we don't want to get bombed either, like regular bombed, but nuclear bombed is also really awful.
Yeah, yeah.
So right now, they think that the smaller warhead can actually reach the continental United States.
That's scary.
So that's where we're at.
We need Dennis Rodman. We need him.
Well, he already
you know the situation is bad when you say, I need Dennis Rodman.
Right.
Things have gone the wrong way.
And help us out a little bit with whatever Trump's
saying. But
wasn't
he just there like 3 months ago? I think he made it worse.
I don't think he's helping anybody.
There's no. Yeah, so what do you do? They just basically, like, they were on, I think it was CNN, and they were sort of mapping out what all of North Korea's sort of defense or military capabilities are, how many million men they have, what their artillery is, and all of this, and how it's difficult to find based on where they have it hidden and all kinds of stuff. And then they had what America can do, and if Guam is to be attacked, and what ships we should be sending in. I was like, yo, wow. Like,
no, it's really very real. But, you know, there's that phrase. This is that old phrase. What is it? With to a hammer, everything's a nail. Mm.
Right.
And you're in that spot with Cheeto where he's trying to constantly pound everything. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's just really unfortunate that this is the first option. And honestly, after the whole Iraq war, the Iraq-Afghanistan war fiasco with the intelligence that wasn't too intelligent and turned out to be a bunch of lies,
yeah.
How can we really say that Kim Jong-un or his dad, what they can do or what they have, or perhaps they just have some resource that America would like to go steal? Yeah. I don't know what it is that they have or don't have. And if I was living in Guam, I would be a little concerned about it.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, I don't know how much of this is a product of the 24-hour news cycle where Congress and the president are both on vacation and they need something to talk about.
So they put this out there.
And how much of it is actually real. You know, I don't think Panic at the Disco does anything either way it goes. But I also think that it's terrible that people's lives are in the balance and a bunch of people who don't seem like they care whatsoever about those people's lives. They just care about a pissing contest about who's got more strength and power and so on. So it's really, really, it's not even a laughing matter. It's unfortunate.
Well, I also feel like where we were headed, you know, you can say whatever you want about Obama, but our relationships were a lot better with a lot of other places. And I feel like it's just literally just taking everything and just throwing it out the door. I mean, everything that
By design.
Yeah. And by design, which is even more scary because we don't know what can really happen between these two countries, you know, and like you said, yeah, I don't really know what they do or don't have, but the fact that I don't know that also makes me extremely scared.
You know? My question has always been, okay, so we saw what happened when they dropped the atom bombs. That was still sort of contained. Isn't the whole concept of nuclear warfare that it is not that contained? And like nuclear warfare, everybody dies. Like that, nobody wins.
What's
in
that?
Nuclear war.
That very famous Albert Einstein quote, which is, "I don't know what the weapons will be for World War III, but I can guarantee you, World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones, because the nuclear is not a game." And I say something else that's not something to be proud of as an American is that there's only one country in the history of mankind that dropped an atom bomb.
Right. That's true.
This isn't like common practice.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right. That's true. I mean,
Where do we go?
Yeah.
I don't know. But we're going to go on 6 dates instead, okay?
That might be more safe right now. Or not.
What is 6 dates?
This is 6 dates. So there's a story this week about some very upset women that felt like they took their power back in a dating situation. There's a young man by the name of Justin in New York City. He was in D.C. Justin was in D.C. And basically what had happened was is that he decided, like, I want to go on some dates all at the same time. And so he invited 6 different women on dates to the same bar on the same night, maybe a few minutes apart.
They're about 45 minutes apart.
And the first woman, her name was Lisette Pliant. She's 26 years old. She was sitting, like, thinking she's on a date. And then suddenly a new date comes up. And the way he maneuvered out of the first date was to pretend like she was his friend for the new girl. And then he excused himself to go to the bathroom and left the girls there together. So they had a conversation like, oh, you on a date? Yeah, I'm on a date. You on a date? What? Okay, so they were upset. Then a third chick pops up. And they're like, I can't believe he did this. Oh, my God. How dare he? Let's all order drinks and put it on his tab and go to another bar and have a great time with each other. So they went away. They got drinks and the bartender got involved on it and, like, it became a whole thing. So apparently somebody knew the bartender. So when they left the bar, they found out from the bartender that was still there that, like, 2 more chicks showed up and they, like, intervened and, like, got those girls to, like, leave and not go on the date. And so Good Morning America interviewed them, and they talked about how upsetting that was and how rude and how dare he do such a thing. But they made new friends that evening, so they felt like they had taken their power back. And GMA asked Justin to, like, join them on the segment and sort of talk about what he was doing or why he was doing it. And he declined to attend, but he did give a quote. And he basically told them that he was looking for love and that for him, those dates weren't dates, but instead they were preliminary conversations.
Look, here, Justin's
She didn't even let Justin. You finish the statement before she wanted to go in. Go ahead, Joelle.
So many thoughts. Because a lot of people were upset. Like, the internet was mad. They were like, how dare you do this to women? But I feel like he just... My man used his tactics wrong. This is a very common practice. This is a super common practice on Tinder.
Women do it too.
They do. Every sex does it. Like, it doesn't matter. Queer, it doesn't really matter. People are like, you know what? Let me just set up, 8 dates tonight. Let me just figure it out. I'll bail on, 2 and be like, oh, you know, I can't make it. And then they rank, the people in their head. I work with a lot of bloggers. Saying. Bloggers like to do this. This is how we meet people. I just feel like, dude, okay, if you're going to try to pull this stuff in the future, set your dates further apart, maybe 3-6 seems like a lot in one night anyway.
Unless you start early.
Exactly. So it's not your time. Excuse yourself. Hop to the restaurant next door.
Was there no restaurant or bar in the area?
Your strategy and planning was just off, dude.
Yeah, I mean, this takes speed dating to a different level. Yeah. You know,
I don't want to date you now because you're dumb.
Well, yeah. Also, yeah. It's not like you said. At least have a 2-hour. Have a 2-hour window. Maybe start a little bit early. Let's start with breakfast, then go to brunch.
You're devoting a whole day.
Well, I'm just saying, if you're going to have 6 days, how do you do that right
you
back
do
to back?
You do happy hour, you do an early dinner.
That hour-long coffee break.
A coffee break would be good, and you might do a late dinner if you're really up. I would max out at 4.
I'm just wondering, would it have been different if you actually, told all the ladies that,
you wouldn't go on a date after that if you've heard the man say.
I'm a little different. I might have been amused and be like, all right. It depends on how we know each other. If we met each other just online and he was like, I have a couple other dates tonight, I wouldn't think it was a big deal. If we know each other from something and you ask me out on a date, I'm going to assume that I'm the only date for that evening.
Yeah, I just don't want to know about it. It's fine if you organize it that way. If I find out about it,
To me, if a female did this to you, would that bother you?
I ain't getting the spot where a female does this to me. But first and foremost, because I ain't sloppy pimping. So my man, Justin, I don't understand why this is news, first. All the things going on in the world.
Good Morning America.
I'm very disappointed in GMA there. I don't know how this is news.
Probably because they became friends. You know what I mean? It was, at the end of the day, they all became friends and they kicked
it. It was a live Twitter story. This is how it started. So the first girl was tweeting about it as it was happening.
Yes.
She was like, guys, I met this other girl on a date. We're friends now. Holy crap, a third one walked in. So people are following live. That's how it became news. Because that's how I found out about it. On Twitter, what the hell?
Yeah, it's like that stripper
Everybody
that was
wants
in Orlando.
To know everything about you all the time. All the time.
But the other point is back to the sloppy pimping. So let's say realistically, let's say he caught rhythm with somebody and it was like, hey, maybe we just need to go have a nightcap come to the room or whatever it is. This is you set yourself up to lose. You have no winning outlet here. Yeah. I'm assuming that you're going to pay for 6 dates. So now you're paying for 6 drinks and 6 dinners and everything as well as you setting yourself up to get no buns.
Yeah, zero.
So
he says he's looking for love, Omar. Go on, give Justin some credit.
He's not looking for love with 6 dates in
an hour.
No, not within an hour.
They weren't dates, guys. They were preliminary conversations.
Which leads me to say, it's not news then.
Right. And does he tell them, was he planning to tell them in that process when they're we're having a good conversation. It's only been 45 minutes. Yeah, I got to go because that was only a preliminary conversation.
I'm sure
it's not a date.
It's planning.
Or maybe he's a failure. Like you saw, dude.
He's not
smooth. That was just lame.
Yeah. He's not smooth.
Try again next time.
A brother?
We don't know.
We have no idea. Right. Justin has not shown his face.
Yeah. Well, from his, he had a few girls. He had two blondes, a brunette, and two. I thought it was one woman of color.
I thought the woman in the front, she looked a little biracial to me.
I saw a different picture. There you go. Yeah. We got two of them.
Then
two blondes.
He equally. He's an equal opportunist.
Tasting the rainbow.
He's tasting the rainbow.
Okay, sir.
With preliminary conversation.
Exactly. So he's actually not tasting the rainbow.
Right, actually, right.
He's actually looking
at
the rainbow.
He's looking at the rainbow, right.
Maybe he's holding his,
pot of gold for the one.
Anyway.
She gets 2 hours.
Right. Right.
She gets a 2-hour date.
Right. Oh my god.
And two drinks.
Right. Yes, she will get all of it. Apparently, and his last name.
I would like to watch it go down, though. By the way, but that's a
I would have been subject. Amused. Yeah. I would have been amused.
See, y'all part of the problem.
We're part of the problem.
I'm part of the problem.
I admit it, it was glorious to watch. Amazing.
Well, speaking of social media and all the greatness that we get from social media, there is a movie coming out Friday, guys, as in tomorrow. It's called Ingrid Goes West. It stars Aubrey Plaza, O'Shea Jackson Jr., and that Olsen sister that I've just like
Elizabeth
Olsen.
She is a great actress, by the way.
She's fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay. You see that movie about the cult she did? She was great.
Yes.
She was
really good. Martha Marcy May.
Marlene. Yeah.
Yep. She's amazing, and she is equally amazing in Ingrid Goes West. So if you want to sort of see our culture in a dark yet comical situation, go watch Ingrid Goes West. It's a hilarious commentary on social media and how it functions in our lives. And it's not like super preachy, like don't do this and don't do that, or why are we doing it? Like, it's just this woman's experience as she heads out west to change her life, but has a little bit too much of an obsession with her social media life. Mm. And you will most definitely laugh out loud repeatedly and also be severely disturbed simultaneously. So
it's gonna be like watching Insecure, where I'm like, this is too accurate.
Yes.
Damn
it. It's too accurate and too like, damn, are we like,
so it's a go see though.
It's definitely a go see. I would go check it out. And for those of you that don't have the patience to sit through longer movies, it's a quick, it's like a 94-minute movie or something. Like,
classics.
It's great. It's fantastic. It's got like 85%, I think, on Rotten Tomatoes. So
it's
getting some good critical you know, acclaim, and it's great. Like, it's great. And O'Shea Jackson is adorable.
This Friday.
Yes. It's out tomorrow.
Courtney, I was just wondering, did you ever catch Detroit?
I have not gone to see Detroit because I'm not emotionally capable to watch
it. I saw that.
I agree.
I saw that last night, and it just destroyed my soul.
Yeah, and additionally, I read too much, because I know quite a bit about that situation historically, just from my own personal study, and some of the criticism that I'm hearing about what wasn't in it, I think it might be a little problematic for me, even more so to watch than it would normally.
Yeah, some have said that it missed the mark with certain things, but acting wise, amazing. But
of course,
the mark
I mean, and you know,
the
they create. I mean, they're. I'm sure it's beautifully done, or at least that's a way to say something like
it's
that.
It's probably well shot.
Yeah. But I don't know if I don't know when I'm gonna be able to watch that right now. I'm gonna be.
Yeah, we couldn't even watch Beast of No Nation together without getting. You know, we struggle with that one, so you know we'll have to see.
And you just put me in a feeling there.
Sorry, right, let me take you out of that feeling, because we're going to go on to our EUR Web Story Spotlight of the Week. EUR Web Story Spotlight of the Week. All right, so I'm going to get you out of your mood, because we're going to talk about our friend, our BHO friend, who all you guys love, Mr. J. Ellis, who is doing his thing, big things. Just got renewed for another season of Insecure.
Season 3.
So congratulations to that cast and Issa. Well, Jay, outside of just doing Insecure, has been working on his own projects. He and his mom are producing partners.
What?
And they have
Paula
Bryant Ellis.
Damn it.
Yeah, it's dope, right? And so they have a new collaboration they're doing with UMC, which is the Urban Movie Channel. Mm-hmm. And so basically, if you guys don't know, we were kind of talking about this earlier about subscribing to different services that are offering content. Well, the Urban Movie Channel is a subscription streaming service created for African Americans and urban audiences that features urban content, showcases feature films, documentaries, original series, stand-up comedy, and other exclusive content. Well, he has partnered with them, and he created a show with the created by also Melissa Eno Effa, which is in the vein of like Scrubs meets The Office. Yeah. It's comprised of 10 to 12 minute episodes. The show centers around a quirky medical doctor of low income health at a low income health clinic who must maneuver between demanding corporate heads, outlandish patients, and her wacky but loyal staff, all in efforts to keeping the community and the healthcare afloat around her. So the first episode, which the show is called Hard Medicine, first episode premiered on August 2nd, and Jay put it on his Facebook and received over a million views to date just from that. So congratulations to Jay. He's always been a great supporter of BHL, and we love him here. And I'm just really proud to watch his career just continue to grow. And he stays the same. So you know, kudos to him.
It's so crazy. Like, Facebook, it's streaming on Facebook, and then you have another whole movie channel that is streaming. What world have we become, people?
It's amazing. No,
just think, it's that's this is just the beginning. Think it's what it's going to be like within the next couple of years, you know what I mean? Yeah. Literally, you won't have a TV, you know what I mean? Or if you do, it's going to be...
I feel like I will always have a TV.
Actually, I feel like I always have a TV.
I'll have a projector, but yeah, I feel you.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just kind of... You just watch everything.
We just won't have any cable.
We will not have cable, especially with those cable bills.
No. Nah.
But...
Everybody's like, nah. We have no cable.
Nah, but we'll find a place to watch Omar.
I need them to get our internets cheaper, okay? That's what I need.
Yeah.
We pay way too much money for internet.
But I think it's the exact opposite.
Oh,
I would be willing to pay so much more money for internet than I would for cable or any other anything else you can think of. There is nothing that gives you the total package. The internet is LeBron James. Internet gives you no. The internet. I'm talking about capitalism in the sense of efficiency. If you just have TV, then you only have what they give you.
Yes.
If you just have a phone, then you only have two-way conversation ability. If you have the internet, everything runs through the internet.
That's true.
Your streaming, the TV, your emails, the phone, you name it. The internet literally connects you with, you know, an Aboriginal person that's in Australia. That's outrageous.
Why I think it needs to be free.
It should
free.
Be cheaper.
That's why I think it should be free. It should be like a natural resource that's available to everyone.
What 24/7. Natural resource you got this free?
I was going to say, it's never going to be free. Girl.
You know, or cheap. Well, fill me in.
Fire stick.
I mean, Google's working on it. Google's it got the, they're setting up like free Wi-Fi in parks and stuff, so that'll connect eventually to cover whole cities.
Google has no interest in giving anybody the internet for free. And neither do any of these other companies, so don't believe the lies when they tell you that.
Somebody else paying for it. Don't believe that. They want you to connect right in that park.
Yeah. It's about connecting in community, guys.
They're trying to find you.
Good luck with that.
Oh, Joelle, you're so optimistic.
Yeah, you're so cute. That's that same face you put on when you heard about Jay's mama.
You stay cute with your Afro pops.
That's what it is. Just when you thought Jay couldn't get no more adorable.
Miss Black Sunshine.
Right. I'm gonna tell Jay. Jay is my man. I'm gonna tell Jay how you lit up.
All right. Well, our last story of the day before we get to talking more with Omar is another positive story. A little girl by the name of Little Miss Flint. If you've been paying attention since 2014, Flint has been struggling with contaminated water, and the city's really been trying to rebuild itself and get back to just having healthy living. You know, things that we take for granted, but healthy living. Well, there's a little girl who's 10 years old. She's known as Little Miss Flint. Her first name is Mari. She's partnered with Pack Your Back Organization for School Supply Distribution in Flint last Sunday. Well, basically, what they're going to do is give over 100 backpacks and vital school supplies to students. This year, she saw 10 times the amount that was raised nearly online. More than 1,000 backpacks were given out to every student that attended the event that she recently had. And this is what she had to say, you know, in reference. It's like, this little girl is, she's so smart already. But she said, I wanted to make sure kids got the best start possible to their school year and for their parents to not have to worry about having to buy supplies. You know, I mean, she's our future, you know? So we talk about...
President number 50.
Right, President number 50. She's unbelievable. I mean, what do you guys think about this story when you saw it?
I thought it was so sweet and so precious and so great because you know how excited you used to get when you got school supplies and when it was time to go get school supplies. And if you're in a position where you can't afford them or you're definitely starting off already at a disadvantage. I mean,
100%.
Yeah.
And it's just very thoughtful and wonderful. And I love when I see it happen because you want to start fresh and like it's a new year and you want to feel like you're jumping into the new year, not that you're like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Cool about, do you guys follow her on social media?
I have not.
She's incredible. So she's been doing this since the water crisis started. She's Little Miss Flint because she won like the state pageant or whatever, the city pageant. She's been like collecting water. She like goes into detail about explaining it day to day. And then every so often she'll put up a number of like, this is how many days we've been without water. Like she's a little warrior. She's kind of amazing.
Yeah, because she started the hashtag Pack Your Backpack challenge last year on Twitter, and that's where she fulfilled the 100 backpacks, and now that's where we're saying it's grown to the 1,000.
Outstanding. You talk about something that should be free. This is something that should be free.
You're right at this point.
School supplies should be free, and not just for kids in Flint.
That's true.
If anybody actually took a look at what it is that the federal government spends money on, and then saw if we weren't so distracted by social media and our lives and the Cadillac problems we have, and you actually looked at what's going on and the stuff that money gets spent on,
yeah.
and then you see where the deficiency is. I actually worked, I thought that I was, got pumped up. I didn't know about that story, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
And I worked with an organization called Blessings in a Backpack that gives kids who can't afford it a backpack full of school, a backpack full of food on Friday, because you come to find X number of children every week don't eat when it comes to, yeah, except for free lunch. So when they're at home on the weekends, they don't eat.
Yeah. Wow.
And there's been a lot of people that got involved. Hillary Duff got involved. A bunch of people got involved. It costs like $60,000 for you to fund an entire school district for a year for food. And the kids come with a backpack, an empty backpack on Friday. It gets filled up at the school. Then on Monday, they bring it back empty again. And the process, you know, resets over the weekend.
Wow.
And those kids' numbers have gone through the roof just because people are hungry.
Yeah.
You can't get nothing done when you're hungry.
You can't concentrate when you're hungry.
Not at all.
Man, it's wild. This is it's this wild. World is wild. I tell you,
it is so
everybody
wild,
walking
man.
Around talking about nuclear bombs,
and kids can't even eat.
That's what I'm trying to tell
okay?
you.
Do now, you know how much money gets spent to make a nuclear bomb?
Man,
kids can't even shower in Flint. Like the water gives them rashes, so they have to like fill tubs with water bottles daily in order to get clean. Like it's crazy.
Try to fill a tub with a water bottle.
Man,
it ain't easy.
I used to get mad at my grandma's house having to boil water on the stove because she didn't have hot water sometimes.
Call that the wash up.
And then you had to put in a.
Yeah, I'm savvy.
I'm so mad.
Our priorities
are so messed up.
They are rough, but you know,
go, Little Miss Flint. We love you,
Miss Flint.
Yeah.
You know your thing, and awesome. You know we're still praying for the city to recover from all of the tragedies that have happened there in the last few years. All right, we're going to move on to some more positive things.
Yeah.
Mr. Omar Miller's in the house with us today.
Hey.
You know, I was looking at your stuff. You just...
Done
man,
everything.
Just, you work at everything, man. Yes. You're always working. I mean, currently you're on a new third season of Ballers on HBO, which premiered July 23rd, 10 episodes. EPs include Mark Wahlberg, Dwayne Johnson, Peter Berg. So, I mean, it's got some heavy hitters there. We got a quick little preview clip that we will show everybody right now.
Are you trying to promote
bringing football to Vegas?
What's in it for us?
Money, as always, money.
You're one of the few ex-players who managed to build a second career. Why risk everything?
Sounds like you're trying to discourage me.
Relocation talk has been going on for years. Way more experienced businessmen than you have failed.
You're out of your mind if you think I failed already. And enjoy the rest of your fucking workout.
Something on your mind there, Charles?
You took credit for Anthony Sutton.
Did you get Reggie and Vernon out of the weed business?
Oh, I can't really hear you.
Watch your ass.
You're gonna get it right in the teeth on this one.
Yeah, and it's where I like it.
Man, that show, great show to be on.
Great show to be on. Thank you.
You played Charles, as we kind of saw you in the preview. What's been your favorite part about working on the show?
You know what? I would say this is one of the first times where I've gotten to be a full-blown adult. And, you know, he's a very complete guy with real flaws. I tell people I have the best role on the show because I work with a fabulous woman in Jasmine Simon that plays my wife.
Yes.
And, you know, we represent something that you don't see a lot on television, which is the married black couple.
Right.
And, you know, that's having a kid and that are both professionals and they're trying to just live life. The other guys on the show, that it's a bit more fantasy based. Everything is so much bigger.
Yeah.
You know, when you watch our segment of the show, it feels like we're people that you know. That's the feedback that I've been getting from people.
Mm-hmm.
So besides that, shooting in Miami for 2 years was fantastic, and now the show's gotten bigger. And we shoot all over, Miami, Vegas, L.A., San Francisco, Oakland, which isn't a big jump, but yeah, all over. It's been a great job. I'm really blessed.
And you guys just got renewed for season 4.
Yeah.
HBO's making all their announcements.
They make big announcements. And, you know, I mean, the show, the numbers for the show are through the roof.
Yeah.
And it's a, you know, this year we're led in by Game of Thrones, which, you know, when it's on TV, is the biggest show on TV.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic as a prep because now we're hitting all kind of people that we didn't hit before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And our show was pretty popular anyways, you know what I mean? And now it's literally breaking numbers, breaking records for HBO.
I love hearing that. Congratulations.
Thank you. Nah, you and me both. I got a lot of people to take care of.
I know that.
Keep working.
You could maybe write your own storyline about Charles, your character, what would you say about yourself?
Wow, that's a tough one. I think I might have Charles line up 8 dates in one night.
and make an appearance on GMA.
And have his wife
and then he goes,
kill him.
And then, right. And then his lovely wife would show up and put the stomp down on his sloppy ass. Okay, nice. You know what? I don't know. I leave that to the writers. For me, it's just about the truth and the honesty of whatever it is that they give me to try to portray to make you guys believe it. So, I got so much other stuff that I'm working on. I'm not necessarily focused on Charles' storyline.
Right.
That's somebody else's job, and they've done a good job of it so far for me because I have meaty stuff to do. And wait till you see where the character goes this season. You just won't even believe it.
I was going to say, can you give us a little glimpse?
No, man, you trying to get me fired? I'm not trying to get fired. What I can tell you is there's a lot more conflict because, okay. You know, there's a push-pull going on between Charles, his career, which is now as, an assistant general manager with the team, and his life. You know, he's a dad and he's a husband still, but this job is really stretching him. And he has to spend more time away from home. He has to, there's some neglect going on in different areas of his life that are going to cause some major problems.
And you're also doing a lot of other stuff like voiceover work. You're doing the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles,
yes.
Which
yes.
She was very excited about.
I'm so excited about it.
Yeah, I'm pretty pumped. I don't even know if we're supposed to talk about that. I guess my publicist must have got it cleared because the cat is out the bag. But yeah, that heat will go on him.
And then you also have, you're doing some hosting because I was going to ask you if you loved sports prior to being on the show.
Oh, forget about it. That's what I was doing with my life prior to getting involved in acting. Is that I was a baseball player. Everybody that knows me, that actually knows me from that point in my life, thought I was going to be the baseball player with my life.
Yeah.
Or be involved in the game, baseball or basketball in some way. And now what I do is a whole bunch of stuff that blends sports and travel. So I got this awesome opportunity the Tennis Channel gave me where I've tricked them into letting me eat and drink my way across the world.
I love that.
And reporting as a co-host.
You need a co-host for some of those travel dates.
Yeah, so we've been having a blast. It's called Advantage Omar, and the segments play live on television. So Federer plays Nadal, and then they cut to me in the booth, say, hey, so what'd you get into this week? Then we roll the clip of some of my adventures with my friends, and all the different stuff that I get into on any given day while I'm in town for a tennis tournament.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I saw it, and I was so like, fantastic. I was like, multitasking, you got a lot of
different
it's
great.
Things.
I get to direct those pieces, and me and my brother produce them, and so you can check them out. They're on tennischannel.com. After they air live on linear television, then they live online on tennischannel.com. It's a great, great opportunity.
And is there a new film or another project that you're working on?
I've been working. I got a film called Blood Mountain that'll come out. It's a true story. It's an independent film. It's a true story about the only FBI agent in the history of the Bureau to be convicted of murder.
Oh. Wow.
And it stars Emilia Clarke and Jack Houston.
Ooh.
And, there's a lot of stuff going on. I'm really blessed to be busy.
Yeah. Listen, that's
it is
half
always
the battle.
A blessing. Yes, for sure.
And you stay working.
Do you have a passion project that you would like to see come to light sometime soon or in your future as an actor?
You know what? With the way that everything is in flux right now, it's very interesting because I'm a movie head. I started in the movies. I love the movies. I love going to the movies. And I haven't even been to the movies in the past couple of weeks, which is very strange for me. Mm-hmm. So I don't really know. The more modern depictions that we can get of the real life experience in America, I think those are my passion projects. I mean, when I see the shows that I watch that are on that I love watching and I see these different elements of life, it's like, man, that's awesome. These are great things to be a part of. Mm-hmm. And, I'm a big fan of independent movies.
Yeah.
So, I would like to just get back into making movies and making independent films and making more movies. It would be great. You don't have to go to the movie theater to see them. You can watch them at home. Most people have a setup at their house that they really like.
Yeah.
But I just want to tell compelling stories, That's the thing.
Sure.
Well, man, we really are blessed to have you in the studio today and love watching your work from where you started to where you're at now.
Thank you, man.
Maybe some more amazing things come out to you. Where can fans find you if we want to know more about some of your social media stuff you're doing, some of the other projects, anything?
I'm going to be on Figueroa and Normandy. No. I'm a You guys, you guys can find me at my Instagram page is Omar Benson Miller. My Twitter page is Omar Miller. My Facebook page, I think, is Omar Benson Miller. And all my stuff is always updated there. I'm not necessarily the most sharey person because I'm still of that generation where privacy is more important than transparency.
Yeah.
But I share everything I do professionally. So anything that you want to know about me and what I'm in or what I'm producing, directing, or starring in or whatever, there'll always be a clue to that on my social media. And if you just want to sit around and hear me talk crazy about sports, you can go to uninterrupted.com. I've been we have a show on LeBron James's website now.
That's right.
Called The Ozone, and it's me and one of my brothers, and basically, I make you privy to a conversation that two brothers have in the living room, except for we have mics. So it's you know, it's unfair and partial. It's nothing,
intimate,
nothing PC.
Another PC is all love.
Yeah, it's all real.
It's all, yeah. Right.
It's not all love. It's all
the time.
Y'all know how family is.
Right. I don't have too much.
Yeah.
Courtney, where your pants find you?
Sorry. I'm everywhere on the social medias at Stuart Starlet.
Joel. Hey guys, I'm Joel Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joel Monique and every week at blackgirlnerds.com.
And you can find me at Daryl Kristen on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and you'll catch me watching Ballers on HBO as well.
My man. Yeah.
Congratulations, man. We want to see you again soon and come in and talk about some future projects.
Thank you. Sure. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Everybody have a great weekend.
Thank you.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Daryl Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in. The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.